What?
Alright. We're recording? We are recording. This is Hoodie Chinsky. We're picking up right now, probably in the 15th, 14th cheer on the set. I'm not going to be this, like, robotic. I'm just doing this for everyone. Anyone who's listening, anyone picking up now. We're on the 11th source sheet, which hopefully will be going up online as well. If anyone would like any of the previous source sheets, I have them, and you can ask me for them at hudichinskey@gmail.com. That is hudichinskey@gmail.com. That's the most technical that I'm going to get. Okay. Basically, today we're going to try and do two more psukim. If you look again, it's always nice to look at the natural breaks of the psukim. So you see that we're about to hit another break. The next one's going to be harder to go with, but at least here we have a break of Sror Hamor, where Yud Gimel and then Yud Dalet. Sror Hamor Do Dili Bein Shadayalin Eshkol Akover Do Dili Becharmei and Gedi. So last year we were discussing how there seems to be. How there seems to be a break between the man and the woman. He's describing her directly. She's describing what he is to her. He's using Lashonos of Malchus. She's using Lashonos of nature. So we're not going to focus on that so much, meaning that's something which we stressed last time. Now we're going to stress the aftermath of at least one perspective that we took last week of the Pasuk of Acha Amelech v'Misibo Nirdina Sonricho, which was the idea of Mashber. Right, that they did a mistake. They did the chedega, and these two psukim are perhaps the repair, perhaps the repair, perhaps her coming back now, and that process and that feeling. So let's talk a little bit about the symbolism of the different spices in the pasuk. I didn't understand everything, but we can talk a little bit, and this is going to become. It's going to repeat itself over and over and over again. So Tzror Hamor Do Dili Bein Shadayalin. Tzror Hamor, more is nice, it's mir or mer, I don't know, it's mer, I think is the translation. Tzror is a packet, like a packet or a rolled up packet. Amor, Dodili, my beloved is to me, Bein Shadayalin. Between Mamish Trest, my chest, to speak in Lashon Nekiyah, he rests. Eshkol HaKofer, so I didn't find the English translation of Kofer, I could have. I looked at it, I didn't find anything. Unlike more, which we'll talk about in a second, I couldn't find anything special about kofar. Kofar is a type of fruit. Eshkol kofar, a cluster of fruit. Do dili, my beloved is to me, becharmei and gedi. So all of these are going to be important. I thought, and I couldn't think of anything, and I'll give it for food for thought, it's something that we discussed at length was the symbolism of grapes and vineyards. So here you have two references to vineyards without any reference to grapes. Eshkol is usually a word used by an eshkol of anavim. Anavim, grapes, yeah. Eshkol shal anavim, or bicharamim, which are usually grapes. Here you have a reference to a different type of fruit. But that was interesting, I couldn't figure it out. Maybe at the end of it, maybe we'll come full circle. But let's start with more. What is more? So I looked it up in the academic books. All different books reference this. Velix and all the academic books that are written as Perushim onto Shirshim. They say more is mir. And mir is a fruit, you ready? That has a bitter taste, but a beautiful smell. Unlike an esrog tastes good, right? A bitter taste, meaning it's not much like that. Disgusting. If you look at it, look at the picture. This is a picture of Mir on your source sheet. It's filled with seaweed. Thorns. That's not thorns, right? Thorns. That's at least in the picture that kept coming up. I don't know if I've ever seen it in real life, but thorns. In other words, if you were judging it from an external, from what you could see, from what you could taste, what? It's not an esrog. Mir is a type of spice. The way you get it, you ready? The way you get it is you squeeze the branch, and then the sap, the gooey, sticky sap that comes out of it, is the mir that you're looking for. So we're gonna come back to this. I'm just wetting your palate a little bit. What do you mean?
Really,
I'm
inside. I'm beautiful. My
baby black. Really. Come on. I mean, that's another interpretation. Interpretation we didn't say. We did say this a little bit. Rashi says similar to what you're saying. Shkoran even avav. Really, I'm black. I'm black on the external, but on the inside, I'm beautiful. So maybe she's referencing back to that. The problem is that we'll see it at the end. We'll come back to this perhaps. The problem is it's shot seemingly. Who's speaking? The woman. Torhamor dodili. In other words, she's speaking about the man. The man is to me like a torhamor. Now, where is the man resting? Bein shadayli, meaning mamash on the woman's chest. So if you look at the Rashbam, I'm not going to translate this, I'll speak in Lashon Nakir, but I'll read it. Achshav shneihem shokhvim al mitasim. They're lying on their bed. V'davrim yachad divrei rotzoi. Upivoi shavach zelzen. They're speaking, they're mamash praising one another. I think pivoi was a mistake because I had to type this up because I didn't have any electronic form of the Rashbam. So minasam, it's puse shavach zelzen, minasam. Matok v'arev, sweet. Dodi li, he's so sweet to me. Shabo shochei velani me, that he comes and he lies with me. Umeniach rosho bein shtei shadai ketzur shamor b'samim shereichot tov b'sam alai. Mamish intimate, mamash intimate, mamish like they're not necessarily meaning more in an intimate kind of way, a very comfortable and a very loving kind of way that they're lying together, and all the. Again, if you could imagine a smell, because that's what mir is. It's not taste. It's not like this immediate pleasure of taste. It's something you have to work for. It's something which has thorns around it. It's something which you have to squeeze to get it out. That. It's the fragrant smell that comes at the end, or as a pleasure of a hard relationship. Right. That those moments of intimate, not lav dafka anything. More than that, meaning something which I'm trying to figure out how to say it. Lav dafka is something more than just expressing emotion. In other words, just that intimate relationship in and of itself is special. Additionally, and again, we talked about the thorns, remember what we're building off of. Right, the bad taste, the acha melech b'sibon yadina sanrecho, a reference maybe to chayda egel, a representation of the mistakes. In other words, but here's the gvalt. In order to get to the mirror, in order to get that sap out, you have to squeeze the tree. You have to go through the thorns. You have to have those mistakes. Right? It's an idea that we've seen many, many times over, and we're going to continue seeing it. It's a theme of Shir HaShirim. Furthermore, Eshkol HaKofer Dodili B'Charmein Gedi. So Eshkol HaKofer, again, this is, there's many different interpretations, but the general theme, the general idea of Eshkol HaKofer, Kofer is also from Russian Kapara, right? L'chaper, to have Kapara, and all the Russian go off on that. Is it a reference to Yitzchak who has had Kapara, or is it a reference to the Kapara that Moshe Rabbeinu had? They always go back to Yitzchak Dafka here. But Eshkol is the Lashon of Eshkolot. Full of like, could you imagine holding a what's it called? Ichmer Meshkol Be'alanglit. It's a... No, meaning lots of grapes is... Not a vine of grapes, but a cluster. A cluster of grapes. In other words, a complete. In other words, the way she's expressing to him is that you're complete to me. For me, you represent everything I need. You're a mamash like a pile of grapes. Everything, if I had that, it would be completely full. But get ready for this, but Charmei En Gedi. Think about En Gedi. Think about desert. Think about mamash desert, nothing, it's hot, you have water, and then all of a sudden you find this oasis. Mamash, an oasis in the middle of the desert of water and fruit and life and nature and animals. And what's she saying to him? B'charmei En Gedi is where we're. In other words, even though there's a midbar, even though it's mamish a bilbo out there, even though it's crazy out there, here it's so nice. Here it's the Charmei En Gedi. It's the intimate relationship here. And you're right, I'm still coming from the palace. And you're right, I'm still coming. I'm running away from the king, as we've been talking about. But here it's... Wow. Again, it meaning in the context, we've been talking about the miss. In other words, he's still talking about the vulech hayayich patrim tzavrich b'charuzim. He's talking about the king, and she's still in nature. In other words, they're still not speaking the same language, but nonetheless, that idea is a very powerful idea, I think.
The Charmei is like an oasis?
Charmei is vineyards. We talked about vineyards. What do vineyards represent in our language? They represent the place where the love is built. So Dafka, the Charmei En Gedi, is the quiet, the oasis in the desert of the place, meaning, and that's why I tried to build your imagination a little bit with the desert. It's this place where you can go and be alone with him.
Isn't that like a contradictory of the Charmei En Gedi? Like the Charmei and the En Gedi is like two opposite sides?
That's interesting. In other words, there probably aren't vineyards in the En Gedi.
Yeah.
I think that whole, that's what I was trying to point out before, Eshkol also doesn't go. And you could say a cluster, but usually you think of grapes when you say a cluster. But I agree with you, it is interesting. It's almost like the opposite. It's like, could you imagine a vineyard in a desert? But Dafka, that's it. Meaning that, maybe that's building the symbolism that we were building before, which is the oasis in the desert. That's how ridiculous it is. That's how ludicrous it is. That's how crazy her life is right now, perhaps. That's where she's coming from. Seder. Says the Ibn Ezra, the second source on the sheet, Unsehiva Amra V'Apal Pi Shrechi Nodeif V'Afilu HaMelech Kishum V'Sivo Yis'Avel HaReach Nirdi. That even she says to him, right, she's answering to him, even though my Reach is Nodeif and even the Melech wants me. We saw a similar idea over here by Haviyane Melech Hadarav Negilu V'Nitzvah Chabach is you, right? Who's the melech? It's the other person, but I would rather run after you. Even if the king wants me, I would rather run after you. It's a very similar idea. Even though that's true, Yoter Tov Reach Nodeit Yesh Lo Dodi Shu Tzror Hamor Vaiti Mitzavesh Yalin Ben Shaddai Vaisi Choshevesh Shani Mechabka Eshkol HaKofer. Which is basically the idea, but the Ibn Ezra are saying explicitly that it's better. It's a better smell. The smell of my beloved, which is mamish intimate, which is in my heart, resting on me, and it's as if I was hugging everything, the eshkol hakofer, all the full fruit. Seder. So now we built up the symbolism, we built up the mashal. But what's the nimshah? Good, stay down. Vinafochu, by the way. We're almost vinafochu. I don't know if you guys know. It's almost perfect. So we built up the nimshah. You look at the Malvim, as always, and this is going to be the end of the first set of the idea, meaning we have three ideas tonight. This is going to be the build-up of the first... this is going to be the climax of the first idea. So the Malvim, as he usually does... I wanted to find a picture for it, but I didn't have enough time. I apologize. The Malvim, as he usually does, throws out a knockout punch. What's the idea? So, the first one is the Mashal, and the second one is the Nimshal. No, actually, sorry, I apologize. This time, not true. What I did this time is it's two psukim. So I brought you just the melitza on both of them. So what's the sur? Mevaeret ki hergisha reach hatov, v'ruachonis Hashem ve'alukuso mishnei tzadim. You ready? Mishnei tzadim. Mitzad ha'alukit asher bin nefesh, ki ha'nefesh mitzad shi elokis v'chelek ma'atzmuto yisborach. Number one, how does she recognize God? Meaning again, the Melitza, we're not speaking in the Nimshal. What's the idea, the first pasuk? What's the first pasuk talking about? It's talking about the representation of finding the Kadosh Baruch Hu within yourself. What do I mean? Says the Rambam. Because of the fact that you're neshama, however you understand that concept that we're bidmus, we're tzelem elokim, we're a chelok elokim imam, however you understand that concept, because of the fact that your neshama represents a piece of God, so to speak, obviously Hashem Echad, whatever, however you understand that, if you look in your heart, you'll find God. if you look in the deepest part of your mamish, if you could imagine the feeling of feeling your heart in between, like in your bein shaddai on the chest, but it's as if it's like cut into you godliness. Ki hachelek yisdame el hakol, because the piece represents everything. Ve'es yipakech ha'adam es einei sichlo, and a person opens up his eyes, hapnimim, into himself. Ve'abit al luchos nishmaso, and he looks at the tablets of his own neshama, so to speak. Yimtzasham mishkan Hashem ve'heichalo. He'll find the sanctuary of God and his heichal. Ve'abit sham kol haflayim ha'elokim b'michtav elokim chalutim al luchos v'arecha eloki tzror v'gonos b'tzror nafsho. And he'll see pilaim. He'll see wonders. It's like, I feel like almost like sacrilege to translate these words. You'll see wonders. You'll see that's godliness. That greatness inside of you, if you were to concentrate on it. And you'll smell, so to speak, right? Smell, we talked about it. It smells the deepest. You'll smell the sroor, this pack of beautiful spices that's hidden inside of you. And this is what I mean that God, that my beloved is tzror inside of me. And then we have number two, skipping. Then you have number two, Eshkol. Margeshes Rechol Ruchaniuso Mitzat Helokusan Imta Chutzla Nefesh Elokis. You find God outside of your nefesh. Hamis Pashet Es Bechol Hametzius Asher Misham. Yerchihu Achachamim Radaso Sola Sigo Min Karme En Gedi. That if you look at the world, like if you see the Rambam, if you look at the Rambam talks about, if you see the world and you look at the world and you try to understand the world and you try to understand biology and you try to understand science and you try to understand math and you look at nature and you look at how it all works, then you also come to an understanding of God. Oh, is your new call out there? Everyone's singing, right? What's the pasuk? Hashemayim Misapim Kavod Kel. Everyone's speaking the covenant of Hashem. You have to listen. Min ha-midbar asher hu shochein sham. From the midbar where God rests. Shezem melitza al me'ono ba'aravos chutz ne'olam azam yushab ne adam hu doma ke eshko ha-kofer shemargishim es recho miruch mirachok. So now he's saying basically that there's a certain godliness, there's a certain level of godliness above us, distant from us, that God feels distant. It's crazy. It's a crazy dichotomy. Then on the one hand, mamish, bein shaddai, yelin, God is here. On the other hand, we have this feeling of ma'enosh, kitzis karenu, what is man that you remember him? You look up to the stars, you look into the moon, and you're like, what the heck? Who am I that you remember me? So he says, the eshkol is a certain, the fruit of the eshkol is a smell that you can only smell from far, meaning it blows in the wind, so to speak. That feeling of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the wind. And it's a representation. He says the eshkol is a representation of how complete the Kadosh Baruch Hu is. How kolel is kol mitzios that he takes over everything. V'omeres ki hisiga ruchanis Hashem v'kvodo bein mitzad ha'saga Hashem v'no bein mitzad ha'saga v'lekus chutz l'nafsho. So she says that I've come to an understanding of God, but either from within myself, or from chutz l'nafsho, or from outside of him.
Understanding of him through herself.
Yeah.
You feel this connection to him without even being
It's interesting because in a physical sense it doesn't make sense. Meaning, let me explain. in definitely, I think, in Jewish thought. I think this is definitely a Jewish idea, what I'm about to say. The Jewish people believe that. What does it mean, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha? What's the goal of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha? So on one hand, obviously, it's to make you a giving person, it's to be a loving person, etc. Not just do giving actions, but to be a loving person. On the other hand, additionally, if everyone is, so to speak, in the image of God, and everyone's their own image, and everyone's their own chelek, so if you want to get to know God, then what's the best way to get to know God? It's to get to know other people. And if you get to know other people, just like you get to know yourself, then you get to know Hashem. So I don't remember exactly what he was talking about the mashal, meaning it's hard to understand that. It's hard to understand. But the truth is, you know, if you think about it deeply, meaning it's what I was about to, by the finishing my sentence, is it's hard to understand how you get to know another person via your heart. But now that I'm really thinking about it, and I can't do this for you, this is so, meaning you have to do this on your own. If you were to stop and think about someone intimate that you have a real relationship with, that you've had intimate times with, and you were to stop and think and say, what does that feeling mean to me? What, meaning the way you relate to that person, the feelings that come up when you think of that person. So if you really relate to your person, I'm telling you, guaranteed, I've done this for myself. If you were to really feel those feelings that you have with that person, then you would get to know them also. In other words, via your experience, via your feeling, via your emotions, you'd get to know them as well.
You don't even get to know them, you just get to like them more. You get to feel closer to them, but you don't get to know them. I understand that, like, this is like less of a kind of moral in life. I just don't see how it ties into the story. Like,
let's try it again. Imagine you had a father who made his son very proud. Well, how do you make him proud? Because, slay their ma. What? Yeah. Because, of course, you know, we'll pick a nice, proper example because he learned Torah. Son was a big masman.
Oh, the son made the father proud.
Yeah, the son made the father proud. And the son, with mamish, it made the son meshuga, meaning in a good way. Like, he was, like, drunk with this pride that he gave his father. He loved it. It was something which drove him, this feeling, this love that he held in his heart, Bein Shaddai, right? In his heart, mamish. Yeah? And then he would think, what exactly is that feeling that I'm feeling? Because he's only mirroring, if you really think about it in psychology, he's only mirroring the feeling that his father's feeling. So what about it makes his father so proud? So you'd think about it, he'd say, well, what did my father tell me? And I'm only giving you a digma. It's hard to, everyone has their own examples, and you have to think about this on your own. What I'm saying right now is so. Again, it's only something which you can find in your soul. That if the father says, maybe it would be easier if I give a personal example. Oh, with personal examples that they can get intimate. Alright, let's continue with this. So what did the father say? So for example, the father said, like, you know, I was never able to learn. So like when he sees his son, he's like, wow, I brought someone in, and I'm so proud of him, because like that feeling of, I always wanted to be able to learn and have that kesher with Torah, and he's got it. It's a great feeling. I'm so happy for him. And he would say that to the son. Like, wow, I wish I could do that. So meaning if the son just thinks about his feelings and the way he feels, he would understand his father more. You understand what? Because we're only mirroring what he's showing to us. The Pasuk says, I want to get, I'm pretty sure Mishlei, it's brought down in the Gemara Nivamos, we quoted it once, is Kamayim Panim El Panim, Kein Leva Adam La'adam, Kach Leva Adam La'adam. In other words, just like water shows the face, so to the lave shows Kein Leva Adam La'adam. It shows the, just like the lave represents the lave of another person. You understand what I'm saying? Again, it's hard for me to give. This is so. And I understand that you have to think about it on your own depth. I'm afraid of giving too intimate of an example. You know what I'm saying? But let's think of a. Again, any. Masha Yaman Ali Nichnas Talib. You know what I'm saying? If a coach gets his team, if a coach gets his players riled up, what does that mean about the coach? What does it mean about the coach? The coach wants them to win. The coach wants the best from them. In other words, if they would look in their heart and feel the excitement that their coach gave them, they'd understand the feelings of their coach. You can do this with any example. If the boss comes and yells at the workers because they're not doing their job, and he says, like, come on, we need to make money. So he, obviously, if they were to say, wait a second, what's this feeling? I'm feeling the nervousness of my boss because he feels like we're not making enough money. He feels like his business might collapse. Every single thing works like this. I don't know if you guys want to give me an example. It's hard for me to think of an example. If your Rebbe wants you to be successful, your Rebbe gets this nachas ruach from you being successful. So it could be a couple different things. It could be one, which is lowest one, which is he just wants to feel like he's accomplished. You'll be able to smell that. But you'll also be able to smell, you ready? If you feel like, okay, let's do it. Rav Machlis, when you're around Rav Machlis, you feel like you just want to be right. It's not because Rav Machlis wants to feel, I don't know if he would, I'm being recorded, but I don't know if Rav Machlis would want you to feel like, sorry, I don't know if Rav Machlis needs your, I know Rav Machlis doesn't need your feeling of Echor Mimitzah, feeling of like, oh, Rav Machlis, you're doing a good job, right? Like giving Rav Machlis God. No, what does he want? He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be Sashem. He wants you to be the best you could be. And you feel that in your heart when you're around him. So if you were to say, wait a second, what's the feeling that I feel right now? So if you were to pick apart that feeling, you would understand Rav Machlis. You understand what I'm saying? If you were to feel weird around someone, so you know that there's something off about this person when you're around them. If you look into yourself, you understand what's going on around you as well. If God is putting something, God is, so to speak, you have a piece of the infinite, so to speak, obviously, again, Hashem Echad, in your heart. So if you were to pick apart that, you would understand, wow, how am I supposed to relate to God, and how does God relate to me? We're totally different people, you and I. You and I. In other words, we're all have our own craziness, our own nature that was given to us in our neshama, in our own nefesh, our own. It's kind of like whenever I think about this, I think of an RPG game. These are why video games were created. An RPG game. Anyone know what RPG represents? Role playing game, right? So every single character, when you start off as your character that you're going to build, he starts off with certain character traits. He's a wizard. He's a soldier. He's a healer. He's a lady. A scout, you can think of it all different. But he starts off with certain traits, and he builds on those traits. In other words, each one of us are created with our own traits, and that's how God created us in the world and everything around us, the way we relate to everything around us, also. Additionally, there's a certain level of God that's way above us. Way above us. And you see godliness in that also. That's in the desert. That's in the Carmean Gedi. That's where you have to go out and find it. Two totally different. One gives you depth and one gives you another. You understand what I'm saying? Depth meaning if you look into yourself and you really appreciate yourself, it's like a lahavdil, but it's like a really nice wine. And if you taste the wine and you appreciate every single, it's like wow. If you look in your heart and you appreciate every single piece about you. On the other hand, there's the anava, like again, ma enosh ki tizkerenu. What is man that you remember him? Looking onto the greatness of God. Is that clear? Did I make it clear? Or is it still not? Again, it's sowed, which means that I can never really. It's kind of like the ball going around the hole. You kind of have to give your own mishalim, your own examples. Or is it not clear yet? It is clear? Okay. I hope it's not clear. Okay. And that's the idea, again, that the godliness inside of you. The godliness inside of you, that part of you which you're trying to relate to. And your depth, and it's good. This is why Zvodus is so important. This is why Tefillah is so important. Moshe believe to have a fleshy heart of feeling. Okay, Ad Kan, first idea. Second idea. Actually flips it on its head. Meaning, the next idea, and we'll use Rashi because Rashi basically allows us to read the pasuk this way, is not that she is saying that the man, so to speak, is lying on her chest, but rather the reverse. I feel as if I'm lying. If I'm correct, one second, I might have had a. Yeah, the reverse. Meaning, Rashi says, "Dodinas Eli, my beloved happened to me, Kimishi Yesh Lo." That is to him, Kitzror, Tzror Hamor Becheiko. that it's as if he has a tzror hamor in his bosom, so to speak. V'amar lo, hari lecha, tzror zeh shitein reyach tov min harishon. And again, reyach tov min harishon. So we see again the representation of, it's better now, even though we messed up, as Rashi understood. Kach, huh? It's better than the first one. It's even better than the first one. Reyach tov min harishon. Shibadata, that you lost. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu nitzratza l'Yisrael ha'maisa egel u'matlam kapara al avonam v'amis nadbu l'mishkan v'yavo zav ha'mishkan v'yichaper al zav ha'egel. Bein Shaddai Yalin af l'fisha ma'alti bo al l'mishkan sham. Even though I messed up that he, even though I messed up in that intimate place, mamish at the chuppah. Could you imagine a bride at the chuppah messing up? Tami Yisrael at Har Sinai. Even though I messed up there, he still brought me back. Even he brought me back so intimate, and it's even better now. Again, I almost feel bad killing the point, but it's over and over and over. This is Shir HaShir. Bidi Eved is lechachila. Go to lechachila. Make a mistake, create a lechachila. Bein Shaddai Yalin, Bein Shnei Badei Aaron. Between the two Badim of the Aaron, between the two stabs of the Aaron. So here, sorry.
Wouldn't it be that if we messed up the first time and then you brought us back, wouldn't it have like a sense of lacking or a sense of not as complete as the first one? Like saying Mishkan wasn't as there as the first one. Like I feel like after
Mikdash.
I feel like after the first time, like kind of damages the relationship in a certain way that you can't fully repair.
Can I come back to your question in a minute? Okay. One minute. Max asked, just to make sure everyone heard, that it seems like after a mistake things are watered down or bitter.
Meaning we wanna think it's better, it's just better.
Correct. We want to think that it's better now that this has happened. Let's just finish Rashi, and then we'll come back to it. The last Rashi is on the next Amud. The Chavirin Gedi Shem Hamakom, the place. V'Shem Hu Matzoi. Sham Hu Matzoi. V'Iti Ba'Agarata. Sorry, V'Shem Hu Matzoi. It's a found name. V'Iti Ba'Agarata. I found Agarata. Shosim Kramim Osim Peros Arbo Chamisha Pan. They make fruits 4 or 5 times. V'Shana. V'Dugma Ilakama Kaparos Mechilo Shemachol Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu. Many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us. I'll come in Isiyano Shinasu Ba Midbar. How many times Hashem forgave us in the Midbar? Again, same Indian. What are fruits? Fruits are? Fruits are good. Right? Fruits are good. Tu Bishvati Giyo! Chaga Yila Nice! Fruits are good, right? The fact that we messed up and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Kapara is good. Remember the last Medrash. The last Medrash in Shir HaShir Rabba. Again, let's just reference it. Shir HaShir Rabba, the Gav HaSan Shal Yisrael is Nimshalu Lechamisha or Arba? Arba is Varma, I'm pretty sure. One of them was fruit. One of them was a baby. The baby is just like the most obvious example. But again, what's the idea of the fruit? Involved. Does it taste good? And fruit in general, we can talk about fruit like that, and from that perspective, it's true. But the perspective we're building is, what happens if you take the fruit off the tree too early? What happens if you take the baby off the tree, out of the womb too early? What? It's bitter, it's not ripe. If you take the baby out of the womb too early, it dies, chas v'shalom. Every time we make a mistake, it's as if we are growing. At least we hope that that's the goal. That's why we're in the world. Again, if you look at the last Amud in the first parak of Baba Basra, you'll see a list of 4 people who never made a mistake. Who are those 4 people? Moshe. No. No. Like God, obviously, but people. Amram is number 1. Binyamin is number 2. Actually, well, I guess he would be number 1 and Amram would be number 2. What? Amram made a mistake. Not Yosef, not David, close. 2 people connected to David. David Ben. Yishai, number 3. And David's son, not Shlomo, who's called Daniel in Divrei Hayamim. Kilav. Never made a mistake, according to the Gemara Baba Basra. Let me ask you a question. Are we B'nai Kilav? Are we B'nai Binyamin? Okay, maybe Binyamin is a shade. Are we B'nai Amram? Are we Bichlal? Who knows who Kilav is? No offense. He's probably Tzaddik. Who knows? I mean, he never made a mistake. Who are we? Ribbini Avram, Yitzhak, and Yankiv. They all made mistakes. Obviously, who am I to talk about the Avos? But again, the Ramban, they all made mistakes. And that's what makes them human. That's what makes us able. That's what makes them able to be our Avos. They grew. I heard this question once, a Gevaldic question. How could Avram Avinu, you ready for this? Avram went through 10 tests. What's one of Avram's tests? Going to Mitzrayim. You know the Ramban says, was a chet gadol? Going to Mitzrayim. How's that possible? Is it a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. Because the diamond shines from its impurities. The diamond shine comes from the impurities. What's the difference with the, I love this, it's a Gevaldic four. What's the difference between cubic zirconium and diamonds? What's the difference? Cubic zirconium is perfect. Diamonds are not. That's the difference. You hear? In other words, a perfect diamond is not a diamond. A diamond has mistakes, and from the mistake, that's where it shines. Human beings shine from their mistakes. You can tell a Gevaldic human from the way he comes back from the mistakes. David HaMelech, what makes David HaMelech so great is Perek Aleph and Perek Beis of Melachim. After a constant down of Shmuel, after the mistake of Bathsheba and all of Tehillim, it's like, is this, is that his chet lefanai, that his chet is constantly in front of him. That's what makes a man great. So yes, via these four or five mistakes, via these comic apparels, it's a reach tov. It's a reach yote tov meharisha. And this, now coming back to, yeah, we'll, and then we'll come back to the next question.
Under Gemara talks about Shaul HaMelech and how he was perfect and didn't make a mistake.
Shaul?
That's why he wasn't successful.
So this is a general theme.
Where you're, came from Binyamin, which was even older.
Gevald, this is a general theme which I'm not going to get dragged into now, but it's a Gevaldic theme.
Came from Parayt, which,
if you look, correct. If you look throughout Tanakh and you look at the Yosef characters, you look at the Binyamin characters, Mordechai is a tzaddik, but he's also Yehudi. If you look at Yehuda and Binyamin and Yosef, the Bnei Rachel and the Bnei Leah throughout Tanakh, you will see a constant theme. The difference is Yoshua versus Kalev. Kalev is a ruach acheres, but Yoshua is a tzaddik. Whatever. Not for now. Not for now, but correct, absolutely. You ready? Give out! And this is what's going to come out. I'm... Great. This is a general idea. General idea. Began Eden Mikedem. What we're trying to do is get back to Gan Eden. This is an idea which is going to come out hopefully much more next year. But we're all trying to get back to Gan Eden. We started in Gan Eden. We messed up. We started in Gan Eden, we messed up, and now we have to get back. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave. Oh, I have to check out the Tirgum. Maybe this fits in the Tirgum. I didn't understand what the idea of the Tirgum said this week, but perhaps this is maybe what the Tirgum was saying. That one second. No, it's not for now. But the Luchos, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Luchos, and then what? Break it and Sol Lecha Avanim Karishonim. You have to build it. You have to make it. If there's a growth process, we at the first base make this not for free, obviously, but we had to work. We had to work for it. But it was more or less given to us. Third base and the second base is also. It's interesting. I always wonder about the second base make this because that seemingly doesn't fit in. But there's many miracles that happened in it. Third base make this is on us to build. We have to work for it. We have to get back to that level. We're struggling to get back to the level of Shlomo, but it's us working for it in a total build bowl. This is why this entire generation. Because we have to work so hard to get there, even to get a little bit. We have to work so hard. Great. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us, this is another idea that comes out of this measure, I think we quoted this before, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us the whole Torah! Let me forget it. And we have to work for it again. Get it back. Yeah. Gotta work for it, get it back. But that's part of the process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world so that we mentioned this before. I saw this in a red pamphlet, which I don't remember who the author is. I don't know where the pamphlet was, but this is one of the ideas of, and we've quoted this medrash at least twice, and this is going to be a third time, but it's important to hear it a million times. The Gemara Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Eruvin. Nachol Gesh Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Noach Lo Adam Shalom Nivra Yotam Yivna Shenivra. everyone translates it as better, but it's really, according to Baal Tanya, more comfortable. Obviously, everyone agrees it would have been more comfortable for men not to have been created. But now that he's created, work on yourself. The whole point of the world is that Enoch Inami would have been easy had we not been created. We would have been the opposite of God. We would have been takers. Kadosh Baruch Hu just created us. We're takers. We're not intrinsic. He just created us. But now that he put us in this world, this billable of a world, we have to work on ourselves. We have to make ourselves, make the man. We become godly, so to speak. That's one, perhaps, at least my understanding, the Ramchal's understanding of the goal of the world, is that we have to work on ourselves. Make ourselves givers. And that's part of making mistakes. Yeah, you know, if you don't play the game, you won't make a mistake. But Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to play the game and make a mistake and then grow. Ha! So I thought, I learned with my sister, Yoshua, sometimes. We haven't been so consistent lately, but we were consistent. Different points were more consistent than other points. I learned with my sister Yoshua. We're in Perek Dalet. Maybe at the end of Perek Dalet, maybe we start in Perek Hey. I think we're in Perek Hey now. But when we were learning, so we talked about the Aron crosses across the Yarden. And right before that happens, Yoshua says to the people, Goshu Hena, come close. And the Medrash says, this is why I'm bringing it now, the Medrash says that, what does it mean? Mamish, all the Jewish people fit in between the Badeh of the Aron. This is Mamish, what our Sukkot are talking about according to Rashi. Same Rashi. But the Badeh are the staffs. Of the Aron, they all fit in between the Aron. And then I brought. Did I not bring the Medrash? I didn't bring it.
It's similar to how the Aron made the room look. Measure the room was like 28.
So I thought that might be connected. I couldn't figure that out because also space, that the Aron fit in into a space that didn't really exist. I couldn't think of that one. I didn't come up with them, but I did come up with, and I didn't bring the medrash, but I found, actually it's the end of this medrash. The fifth Yudeani, the fifth first word, Yudeani Shishakhanti Benechem, after Beis HaMikdash came. Even the Beis HaMikdash was thus, the Taninan Omdim Tzfufin and Mishtachim Mechavim. Right, we know the Medrash that everyone would bow in the base of Medrash, and there would be room for everyone. There was space for everyone. Rabbi Shmuel bar Eva Mishem Rabbi Achai Amar Revach Arba Amos Ben Kol Echad VeEchad Amal Kol Tzach Lo Yehi Echad Men Shomer Kol Chaveru Mispalel. And you know what? Afla Atiba Bo, it's going to be like that. Bezrat Hashem. The understanding is Im Yesh Ahava Yesh Makom. I think that's the representation. I think that's a clear idea that comes out of this. Yesh ahava, yesh makom. In other words,
yesh makom b'Hashem.
The reverse. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can love each one of us in our own Dalet Amos. In Hochi Nami, perhaps maybe in physical space, maybe not this story of Yoshua, maybe not this miracle in the Beis Hamikdash happen. Seemingly, the miracle did happen. It's brought down. But even if you want, even if you're like a least common miracle kind of guy, in other words, you believe in the least many miracles. I mean, I'm personally a basic Mikdash. I definitely think it's definitely. I'm not. I'm a believer. But let's say even you're not. So then, understand it in a figurative kind of way, meaning the miracle. I mean, you don't have to talk in 13 animams to believe in a miracle. But even if you understand it in a figurative way. The idea is that each one of us has our own Dalet Amos when it comes to Hashem. Each one of us has our. You hear what the Medrash is saying? Shelo yehe echa mehen shomea kol chaverai. Each one of us has our own intimate space with God that no one else has. And it's not a contradiction. We all fit into the. We all fit into the Aron. Meaning, but the reverse is true as well, right? Meaning, in the story of Yehoshua, it's almost as if like, could you imagine like taking the whole Am Yisrael, like putting it into one ball? Are you taking all of Am Yisrael's collectiveness, and that's representation of Am Yisrael, that representation of Am Yisrael to Hashem, and the Imam is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu via the Badi Aaron is giving Hashem a hug. I'm sorry, giving the Jewish people a hug. So again, on the one hand, you have Bein Shaddai Lein of Hashem, right? If Hashem, we're resting in Hashem's bosom, so to speak, it's the collective Am Yisrael, and the beauty and the representation and the importance of God, of the Jewish people to Hashem. On the other hand, you have every single person. She's feeling the love. It's like I am resting, but you feel that? You feel that? It's as if I am resting in the most intimate place of my beloved.
Thank you so much.
And how did I get here? So she says, Bicharmei En Gedi, meaning according to Rashi, it's via the mistake. Via the midbar, so to speak, and all the eshkolot, all the mistakes which represent, which are in her eyes opportunities, brought her to this place, in the Charmei En Gedi, in this place, the Charmei, right, it's like, maybe that's the irony, that it's the vineyard in the midbar, it's the oasis in the midbar, that it's like the mistakes of what looks not good, what looks wrong, what looks dirty. Max, you had a question? That's the end of idea number two. Which question?
Time around.
No, so that's the idea, meaning it depends on your perspective. In other words, again, Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo HaMelech? Really, David, you're picking Shlomo as the next king? Like, you know that, like, forever you're going to be poisoned by the fact that people are going to say, like, oh, no, Shlomo's rubbing that relationship between you and Bathsheba, David, you know? No, it's the opposite. If you're a man, meaning if you're able to stand up and you realize your mistakes, again, David is able to say, and this is the gevalt of David and the gevalt of what we're supposed to say, I know how low I was. I know how dirty that was. I know how wrong that was. I know all the midos roles that I was being poor when I did that action. And because of that, I know that this is the best move. I know that Shlomo's number one. And again, this is Sod. Right now I'm speaking Sod. In other words, in every single one of anyone here, in the physical sense, and in the listening sense, anyone here, every single one of us has an action or actions that we have done in the past that because of it, at least you have a rot zone to be a better person if you're not there yet. I hope that there's actions that because of it you are a better person, but at least because of it you want to be. If you ever, the person who hits rock bottom, I know at the end of high school I was at them, rock bottom, and because of that I wanted to get higher because of the mistake. Not in the African in a general sense, also in a specific sense. They haven't messed up in an intimate way, so therefore he knows how to have a proper relationship, hopefully. That's the idea. Kalina achi nami, meaning when you think about it like in the external sense, meaning a husband cheats on a wife. Chas v'shalom. So it seems almost impossible. How could she ever forgive him? But on the other hand, you can think in the Shir Hashirim sense, which is the not the universe, what's the utopian sense. So if he were to come back to her and say, listen, I know what I did wrong, and you know what, if you thought I was, before the mistake, if you thought I was a good husband or a mediocre husband even, I know now that I made that mistake, it shocks me. I'm a changed man. So for us it's hard for us, we can't imagine such a thing between a husband and a wife, but you know, maybe it is impossible. Maybe there are actions which are irrevocable, and that's the idea of kares. But nonetheless, that's the idea of tshuva. That's the absurdity of tshuva. And sometimes it requires yisurin, and sometimes it requires death and Yom Kippur, etc. But no, that is the absurdity of tshuva. Number three! I don't remember. And I heard this, but I don't know where it's sourced. I have it in his name, though, so I'll at least quote it. Rav Shlomo says here that this is a lashon of Hakshar Shechina. Bein Shaddai Elin. The Aron, right? The Aron is a representation of Hakshar Shechina, where Hashem speaks to us. Har Habayis, which rests, right, between two mountains. It is the lowest around it. The same is true for Shiloh. You guys have been to Shiloh? Where the Mishkan was? You go to Shiloh, you'll see that it's surrounded by mountains. Pretty awesome over there. Where the Mishkan was. Surrounded by mountains. Meaning hills, which are higher than it. The place the Mishkan is, it's in the lowest place. If you look at Har Abayis from a distance, you'll see that it's the lowest place in the scenery around it.
Similar to the highest.
So, if you want to talk about the highest point, so you can take it in a couple of directions. First off, in one direction, which I think is perhaps shot, perhaps, is if you have a ball, where's the highest point? You understand what I'm saying? Meaning, I can use my watch. What's the highest point right now? Here. What's the highest point right now? Here. Sorry for anyone who doesn't. What's the highest point right now? So, arguably it's here, but maybe if it was closer together, maybe it wouldn't be here. Otherwise, if you have a ball, so the highest point can be wherever the ball is. Where do you judge the top of the world? Perhaps from your shrine. That could be one way of answering. I don't remember any other idea. I heard other ideas as well. But the idea is, you could also say on a spiritual level perhaps, but the idea is, you ready? Tzniut of Gilu Hashem. Just like Har Sinai, which is is not the highest place, it's to protect the tzniut of Hashem's Shechina. This is the total opposite of Avodah Zarah. All of that equals Gavat Adam and Gavat of other gods, as opposed to Avodah Hashem. We need to be tzanua about it. The Kohen Gadol Gaval. I made a lot of references here. Meaning, I really have to be more like wordy. But the Kohen Gadol goes lifnaiv lifnim, and no one is allowed to be there when he's doing his avodah. Lifnaiv lifnim, the Kodesh HaKadosh. A husband and a wife, no one should be there. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, it's just us. The Shechina, right, only rests under 10 Tefachim. Low in the mountains, the privacy of a house, as we'll see in 3 Pesukim. Up on under 10. Oh, did I make a mistake there?
I
made a mistake. Above 10 Tefachim, so I guess that doesn't fit in, right? One second. The screen is above 10 Tefachim. No, okay, no, maybe they're... Yeah, because in Hanukkah we say it comes under 10 Tefachim. Nechon, because our Sinai, we said it as the Nechon. Okay, so I made a mistake. Either way, the idea of Tzniut. If you look at Yeshayahu, we don't have to go through the whole thing. But if you look at Yeshayahu, we'll read one pasuk. Perek Beis. Look at pasuk Yud Beis. Ki yom Hashem tzevakos al kol ge'evirom. And anyone who raises themselves up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's on them. I'll call Arzei Alevanon Haramim Vanisim. I'll call Alonei Abashan. I'll call Harim Haramim. I'll call Gavaos and Osos. I'll call Migdal Gavoa. I'll call Choma B'Tzurad. See, he's talking about greatness, high, heavy. Where do they put Avodah Zarah? On the high mountains. That's where Avodah Zarah is, on the high, high mountains. Where everyone can see it. Avodah Zarah goes on the border. If you look at ancient history, they would always put the temples on the border. Zeus is on like the border overlooking the water. If you think about Avodah Zarah, the Baal Tzefon in this week's parsha, it's on the border. Egyptian god. Where's the Shechina? Where's the Beis Hamikdash? In the middle of Binyamin. Binyamin's the only Shevet that doesn't have a border with an enemy that I know. Maybe there's another Dan. No, Dan is also on the border. Maybe there's one north of maybe Yosef. And Ephraim, maybe. But Binyamin, for sure, doesn't have another... He doesn't border an enemy. It's intimate. It's in. If you want to have godliness, it's intimate. It's deep. It's in your heart. It's not outward.
In Eretz Yisrael, also in the
Midbar. The Mishkan was in the center. And this idea comes out in the Gemara in Yuma, maybe the daf that I'm quoting here in Mendalad, but it comes out there, and also comes out in, I believe, in Hazorik, in Shabbos. But the Gemara compares here. Maybe I'll be able to find it really fast. 1 second. Remember that. The Gemara says in Shabbos. You ready? Gival, Mamish Gival. Mamish Gival. Here. Where is it?
Big one.
No, I'm fine. Second. Here it is. Tana de Rabbi Yishmael, the end of Daf Tzadi Ches in Shabbos. Lama Mishkan Doma, what is the Mishkan similar to? Le'isha Shema Halechas Peshuk, Veshuleha Halchen Acharea. One second. Sorry for wasting your time. I hope I'm not wasting your time. We'll wait for Jojo. How about for anyone listening, Roger Jump, if you're listening to this online. Here, I found it. Jojo! Achi! So the Gemara says,
Here you guys want?
Thank you. Amrav Nachman.
I'm not cutting up that one, as far as we know.
Mashal Akala Kolzman Shiba Beis Aviha. Tznua Miba'ala, Kevin Shabasal the Beis Chaniya, Ina Tznua Miba'ala. But here in Shabbos, I don't remember where it is exactly, but if you look at Shabbos, it's I think that line I did read, maybe I saw Perish on that line, that it's representation that as long as she's not with her husband, she's very tsanua. Even when she's walking through the shuk, even when she's outside, she's very tsanua. God is very tsanua to other people, but when it comes to her husband, she's not tsanua anymore. That's the representation of the Aron, and that's the representation of Gilui Hashem. In other words, we're trained in the NCSY generation, not that I have anything bad about to say about NCSY, but we're trained that, like, if you want to have an inspirational experience, it needs to be external. But seemingly what's coming out of this pasuk is Bein Shaddai Yalin. If you want to be close to God, it's between your heart. Right? And then this is the Gemara in Yuma Daf and Dalin, which we'll say outside. But basically, the Aron is compared to again, speaking Nikia, the chest of a woman. Because the staves were sticking out into the curtain, and you could see them from outside, but you couldn't see the staves. In other words, just like a woman who's tanua, and obviously we're not looking there, but you could, they're bo'eit, right? So again, on the one hand, it's you could see it. On the other hand, it's tsanua. In other words, Gilui Hashem, you could see it if you're looking for it on a person. But really, 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 it's the pnimius. It's something which no one else should be able to see on you. Real Gilui Hashem, real coming close to God, is something which you should feel in your heart. Which again, will be external, but no one should be able to see it on you. Meaning, no one will be able to pinpoint it. Say for sure, this is it. You understand what I'm saying? It needs to be something b'chedrei chadarim. A certain type of Gilui Hashem. An intimate type of Gilui Hashem. But again, it's Dalet Amos that no one else can hear, right? As we saw in the Medrash. That type of Gilui Hashem that we're talking about now. Even the Mikdash, which is public, is also tsanua. Even the extreme. So I'm going to lie to you, actually, we have a fourth point. I didn't count properly. We have a fourth point coming out of the last two sources. And they're saying a very similar idea, and again, it's building off the same idea, but this one's going to hit home from a different perspective. So if you look at the picture, it says, shame on you. This idea of tshuva we're about to talk about. Amar Rabbi Yeshuva Levi, Rabbi Yeshuva Levi said in Shabbos, "My diksev tshuva hamor do dili bin shaday alin, amar kneses yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Ribbonai Shalom, af al pi shemeitza umeimar li dodi, bein shaday ali. I totally skipped one. I skipped an important measure. We'll come back to it. I'll mention it at the end. Eshkola kofer dodi li bechamin gedi, misha kol shalom mechaper ali, alavon gedi shekarab dili. So it's not so important how the measure at the end, at least I don't fully understand the measure at the end, what it's doing, but it's being dorish the whole pasuk towards Hashem and His kapara that He gives to us. And the pasuk says, even when shemeitzar umeimar li, in the second line, even when it's meitzar umeimar li dodi bein shaddai alin, even when He pains me, causes me suffering, I still lay, so to speak, on His, in His chest. So here I quoted the Oral Satshuva. We'll start from the beginning, read through a little bit, not read the whole thing. I think this part, I'm sure there's many, many other sections of Rav Kook. I'm not so familiar with Rav Kook. I'm sure there are many sections of Rav Kook that will relate this idea. Holech umizmale, we're talking about when a person does tshuva. Holech umizmale oneg v'dashen pnimi. He feels an oneg, a pleasure, and almost like a fattening, like a dashen, a nurturing inside. Yachad, with imalev nishbar v'nefesh shacha meducha, with the broken heart, with the down. Shumagish b'kir, what he feels in his heart. Shagam regesh ze'atzmo hanalo l'fi matzavo, because also the pain. You hear what he's saying? It's so deep. Shagam regesh ze'atzmo, even this pain feeling is also hanalo. It's also hana l'fi matzavo. and in fact, mosif lo oneg ruchani pinimi v'shleimut amiti, and it even fills him with even more ruchani oneg. Meaning, when a person looks back at his actions and he really, really regrets them. It's not shame on you, you're guilty. But shame on you, how could I do such a thing? And I know I could be better. The feeling of pain, of that I know I could be doing better, is a very painful feeling. That's the more! It's the bitter taste. It's the thorns on the outside. But through the thorns, through the squeeze to get the sap, you get to the beautiful smell. And in fact, through that, you get to the smell. In other words, the way to tshuva, not just the action of the mistake, it's not just that the mistake represents the direction of how I become greater, but also the process of tshuva itself is the same process. Of in the beginning, it's bitter. And this is what tshuva does. In the beginning, it's bitter, but it brings you to such a high level. If you do it properly. It's very scary. It's very, very scary. I think psychologists talk about this. The only reason why I think psychologists talk about this is because I saw it in Ali Shore. Ali Shore talks about this. The concept of you have to go into the darkness of you and see how disgusting we are. And via that seeing each and every part of us, we come to it. A shlemus, an amitis.
You think like something so hard and I can't get like break the ice on it once after. Well,
I don't understand, you have to explain that.
Meaning the transition from I can't believe I'm doing this right now, or how am I even doing this, to bring it out from within me, to right away feeling a relief instantly.
That's it. So here we have to make two chilukim and then build. Meaning, Rav Weinberger talks about this, and it's an idea that I think I heard originally from Rav Noach Weinberger's Zechertzad of Kodesh Lebracha. The concept of the difference, I think we talked about this, the difference between guilt and shame. Right? The idea of guilt is that I'm nothing, I'm disgusting. I myself am defined as a disgusting person. Shame is, I made a mistake, and because of the mistake, I want to grow. I'm shameful that I did that mistake. So, meaning an important chiluk that I think we have to make, so is, it's not enough just to feel bad. Yes. Sorry? Correct, and it's also important not to define myself. You could trick yourself if you think like, oh, I'm so guilty, I'm so disgusting. You could trick yourself and feel like, oh, I actually accomplished something. I actually did tshuva. You didn't do tshuva bechlal.
Even just saying that is not real truth. I can say, oh, I'm so so gross. No, but saying that is not explaining what just happened. I can say I'm the worst person, but does that mean I did tshuva?
Obviously not.
Right.
What's tshuva?
It's explaining what you did wrong.
It's remembering how great you are and returning to that idea. Tshuva, lashuv. So you just read a show, oh wow, I'm so bad, so you're not doing the ikra part of tshuva. You're right, it's the first step, it's the regret. But that's only the first step. Return to who you are. Return again. Return again. Go back to who you are. And via that mistake, you go back to who you are. Not only do you go back to who you are, you have a greater appreciation of who you are. Because you see how painful and disgusting that action was. Atkan. So I just want to reference, I mean, there was a medrash which I didn't quote for some reason. I definitely put it in the sheet. One second. I guess I didn't put it in the sheet, which is shocking to me. I didn't put it in the sheet. Weird. There's a medrash which says, what?
From where?
Oh, it's a medrash rabba. I'm surprised I didn't put it in the sheet.
Should I look from the back?
No, I did put it in. I skipped it. It's in the middle of the second page. The Medrash Rabbah says, Rabbi Chonya b'shem Rabbi Acha ein lo chavi. This goes connected to Rashi's idea. I'm sorry that I forgot it. That, oh God. How can I forget this Medrash? How can I forget to quote this Medrash? Honestly, you can think of any idea that we talked about tonight can connect to this idea. Ein lo chaviv leisha hazos yoter mitzur habosa. In other words, isha hazos, isha hazos. This woman has nothing greater to her than the bosa. How do I know? Because it says eichan hi melina osa. Where does she put it? She puts it by her chest. Melina yalin is a lashon of like lying with, of like overnight. So it stay or stays for a while. So the isha hazos, there's nothing more special to her than this. So you, again, if you understand it as referring to tshuva, so there's nothing more special than tshuva. And that's true. If you understand it's talking about Am Yisrael to Hashem, so that's true. There's nothing more precious to Am Yisrael than Hashem. If you understand Hashem to Am Yisrael, so that's gevalt also. Each one is gevalt in and of itself, each one coming with its own uniqueness. The next medrash I thought was crazy representation, crazy symbolism, and I thought it was important to bring, and we have to read inside. Rabbi Chonya b'shem Rabbi Reish Lakish, again, same person, same statement. Amar Kenes Yisrael v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a parish on what he said before. Rabbi Neshayilam, Master of the World. This is Am Yisrael speaking. Hatzartam v'Mitzrayim b'choreim. You painted Mitzrayim with their b'chorot. Last week's parsha. Hamras alayim b'nafsho sehem. You made their lives bitter. V'li b'ein shaday elin. And I lie in the most intimate place. Haketzad. Hayam Mitzri Omer Yisrael. The Mitzri said to Yisrael, Hit min liya b'chor hazeh b'ein banecha. Hide my son between your children. The Malach Mavs would come into the house and kill the Bechor Mitzri that was in the house of the Jews that was should have been protected, kills him, and me, Am Yisrael, is in the most intimate place with Hashem. It's a powerful symbolism that even when everything, and again, this kind of, that's why I put it here right after Rashi, because it goes back to the idea of the hug. It goes back to the idea of everything's crazy out there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives right before Am Yisrael goes into Eretz Yisrael the first time, they're going to go on their own. Gishu Heina, one last hug. Come close, Yeshua says, right before you cross the Arden. Gishu Heina, come close, let me give you a hug. So to here, even when the Malach HaMavis is havoc in the house, we're protected. Bein Shaddai Elin. We're always close to Hashem. This is going to be all their teaching to take wherever you go. Wherever you go, Bein Shaddai Elin. I'm always mamish. It's as if Hashem is giving me a hug right now. Whatever happens to Am Yisrael, whatever pain happens to Am Yisrael, Bein Shaddai Elin. Ad kan hakuf kuf yud aleph yud aleph. Give out. Everyone should have a great night. Have a great cheer. Have many more.
I don't know about myself.